Hello and welcome to the Northgate Podcast, where we aim to bring people closer to Christ, build them up, and empower them to go out into the world and make a positive impact. With our inspiring content and engaging discussions, this podcast serves as a beacon of hope and spiritual growth for all its listeners. The purpose of the Northgate Podcast can be summed up by our mission: to bring people to Christ, build them up in that relationship, and send them out. This motto encapsulates our dedication to help individuals discover the transformative power of Christ's love, nurture their faith, and develop a strong foundation in their spiritual journey. Now here is today's message.
We are in a new series today. The next 4 weeks, we are going to be talking about prayer, as I mentioned earlier. There's really nothing we need to do more than pray. And yet prayer may be the most neglected source of spiritual power that we have. There's a lot of reasons we don't pray. Sometimes we get too busy. I will be the first to confess and admit that there are times I get up and I have a whole list of things in my head that I want to accomplish and feel I need to accomplish, and if I jump into them and I haven't stopped to take the time to pray first, I can quickly just put prayer off to the side and get after my list and start knocking off the tasks and neglect to pray. Sometimes we don't pray because we're just too proud. We don't want to admit that we need help. I can handle this. I'll save the big things for God, but day-to-day life, I've got that. I'll handle that all by myself. Sometimes we don't pray because we're just too doubtful. We have too many questions about prayer. Does God even hear our prayers? How does God hear all the prayers of all the people at once? There's a lot of mystery about prayer. We may be too disappointed. Perhaps you prayed for something that was really important to you and you didn't get the answer that you wanted when you prayed, and so you decided maybe it's just not worth praying. And maybe you don't pray because you're too intimidated. Maybe you've been in settings with people and you've heard somebody pray and it sounds like they have this incredible connection with God, and the words just roll off of their tongue and it's so beautiful, and you feel like, I can never pray like that, so you just don't try. There's a lot of reasons we don't pray, but the thing is, we need to pray. Watchman Nee was a Christian in China in the 1900s, and he died in prison under communism. And he said something that I really liked. He said, "Our prayers lay the track down upon which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails." I love the picture of that. God's power like a mighty locomotive. But how does it get here? How does it get to my heart, into my mind? How does it change my life? That comes through prayer, through a connection with God. Those are the rails that we need to lay down. So today, we're going to talk about this simple idea: we need to pray. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." James is pretty blunt about things. He says, you don't have what you need because you don't ask God for it. That's why you're lacking what you need. That's why it's missing. A robust prayer life requires robust faith in God, trust in his wisdom being better than ours. It's a conversation. It's not a one-way request. It's not me saying, God, this is what I need for today, or this is how I need you to handle this thing. Prayer is meant to be a two-way conversation. I speak, God listens. God speaks, I listen. We go back and forth in conversation. I saw this picture this week as I was preparing. Actually, I saw the next one. I won't show you just yet. I want you to see this one first. This was taken back in 2021, and for the scientists out here, I apologize, I'm not one, but from what I understand, it is a nebula, a gas dust mix from a dying star and a phase in the forming of new stars. But what do you see when you look at it? Yeah, that's from 21. Now the next slide is from this week. That's not a doctored slide. I went on Snopes.com and checked it out. This is real. This is what it looks like from the NASA Webb Space Telescope. And this is a new picture. And they believe, the scientists say, that it's a pair of distant galaxies merging. But what do you see? A question mark, right? And I saw that, and I'm thinking about prayer in this message, and I thought, I wonder if God is asking some questions of us. And that's what the question mark is. Like, maybe God is saying, what's going on down there, right? Or what do you want me to do for you? Or where have you been? Or how come we don't talk anymore? I think God is inviting, NASA can call this a whatever, but I see it as God saying, listen, talk with me. You got questions, I've got answers. Let's communicate. We need to pray. I really got focused on this a few weeks ago when I read in my devotional reading from Matthew 21, Jesus said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. That's where we get the title for this sermon series. And I stopped and I thought, I had a conversation with our staff one Tuesday morning. I said, are we a house of prayer? Are we a house of prayer? Are we a congregation, a church that really puts an emphasis on prayer? Or is prayer just one of the things that we do? We sing worship songs, we read from the Bible, we pray. Or are we a place that is characterized by prayer? You know, prayer, being prayerful is one of our core values. Last week we talked about intergenerational as one of them. Prayer is another one. We put it this way, we need to maintain a continual conversation with God about our joys and sorrows, blessings and needs, all while trusting in his wisdom and grace. We make the efforts here. I don't want to say we're totally negligent. We're not. We pray in the worship services. We pray. We have a prayer team that meets on Wednesday afternoons. We have a prayer team that meets Sunday mornings right now as we're meeting. They are praying. We have centered the first Wednesday of the month. We invite people to pray through the cards. We have a prayer email address you can use, prayer@northgatefmc.com. We have a care team that takes prayer requests and diligently prays over them. But you know, with all of that said, I think there's room for us to become even more prayerful. I think there's room for us to be more focused on prayer in our corporate lives and in our individual and family lives. You can overdo a lot of things. You can overdo eating, you can overdo sleeping, you can overdo screen time, you can overdo being out in the sun, but you cannot overdo praying. You can't. You can't pray too much. So the main point today is God is inviting us to come to him through prayer to find peace and strength for everyday life. And to encourage us to pray, I want us to take a look this morning at a man of prayer, and that man is Daniel. And I'm going to be focused largely in Daniel chapter 10. You know Daniel, even if you're not regular in worship, you know Daniel, but you've heard his story. You know about his experience in the lion's den. He's the original survivor. He spent a night in a cave with some, I'd like to see that. No, I wouldn't actually. I would not want to see that. Okay. But he spent a night in a cave with lions, hungry lions, lived to tell about it because he says, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. You remember that, but do you remember why he was in that lion's den in the first place? Do you remember the reason he was put in there? But you have to go to Daniel chapter 6 to learn what happened. Daniel, let me just give you this background. Daniel was probably a teenager when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took a group of people and began exporting them to Babylon to try to make them Babylonians. And Daniel was among the group, one of the first groups that was exiled to Babylonia, where they tried in various ways to make him just another Babylonian. But Daniel was faithful to God. He wouldn't allow that to happen. He stood up for his faith and his trust in God. And part of what made him faithful was he was a man of prayer. And in Daniel chapter 6, we read that even because, actually, Daniel had risen in ranks of power in Babylon because he was a man of God and he was listening to God and he was able to interpret things for the king that nobody else could, the king gave him positions of power. And that made enemies for Daniel, local people that didn't like the fact that Daniel was gaining all this prestige in Babylon. And so they came up with a way to get at Daniel, to put an end to him, essentially, really. And the way they came about to do that was they encouraged and convinced the king to make a decree, King Darius. And the decree was that for 30 days, anyone who prayed to any god or person other than King Darius was to be put in the lion's den. They knew Daniel was going to keep praying because Daniel had always prayed. And sure enough, Daniel continued to pray, knowing exactly what was going to happen to him. And the spies caught him praying, and they went to the king, and they brought Daniel before the king, and Daniel acknowledged that he had been praying like always. And against his desires, because the king loved Daniel, he threw Daniel into the lion's den. But Daniel did survive that. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, chapter 10, it's a couple years after this. And I'm going to read to you some of the portions from Daniel chapter 10, and then we're going to draw some implications from that about prayer. Starting with verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So here's Daniel. He's somewhere around 85 years old. He's been in Babylon about 70 years, and that's the length of time that God had decreed Israel would be exiled to Babylon for their sins. Now people are starting to return to Israel, and they've begun to build the temple, but they've run into a great deal of obstacles from their enemies there, and the work has ground to a halt. And some scholars believe that's what Daniel is mourning about. He's mourning about the fact that some of his people have gone back to Israel and are encountering all of this opposition from enemies there. So he's praying, he's fasting, he's abstaining from wine, using no lotions or oils for his skin, and he's mourning. And he gets a response to his prayer. Goes on in that passage to say in Daniel 10, he was standing on the bank of the Tigris River, and others were with him, and he, starting with verse 5, sees a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Now the people with him don't see this man standing there. All they do sense that something terrifying is happening around them, but they don't see the man. And so they all flee, they run away and leave Daniel alone with this vision of the man standing in front of him. This is something like Paul's encounter with Jesus. If you remember Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul was on the road to Damascus to arrest and put Christians in prison, and Jesus appeared to him, and people were with him. They didn't see Jesus. They just saw great light. They all became terrified, but Paul was the only one to have that encounter with Jesus. Well, here's Daniel in a similar situation. He's standing there alone with this man in front of him. Who is the man? There's divided opinion about this. I'm not going to settle it, but there's basically two thoughts about this. Either it's a Christophany, it is Jesus appearing in Old Testament days on the earth. Okay, that's called a Christophany. Why would people think that? Well, we just read what that man looked like here in Daniel. And I'm not going to read this, but if you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, and you begin to read there, you'll hear a very similar description of someone we know is Jesus. This is when John has his encounter with Jesus, which he records in the book of Revelation, and it's a very similar description. So some people believe that this is a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Others say, well, that doesn't seem possible, because later on in Daniel 10, it'll say that a person was sent to him, and that the person sent to him encountered opposition from an opponent, an enemy, and he needed help to overcome that enemy before he could make his way all the way to Daniel. Well, that wouldn't be Jesus. Jesus would not be sent. He would do the sending, and Jesus would not need help to overcome any opposition. He wouldn't need to call in another angel to help him with that. So what's the solution? Well, either it's Jesus, and then there is a second person that we read about as we go on in Daniel 10, or there's only one person, and it is a very mighty and powerful angel. I'll leave it to you to read the passage over yourself and study on that. The point is that Daniel learns about some things happening behind the scenes. We read this in the next passage, in verses 10 to 14. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, that is to pray, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So here's what we learn in that passage. God sent an angel to Daniel as soon as Daniel started to pray 3 weeks ago. But the angel was delayed due to a conflict with what is called the prince of the Persian kingdom, most likely an enemy, a demon angel, a fallen angel, that this angel had to do battle with before he could make his way all the way to Daniel. There's so many questions here, right? Like, who is this angel and who resisted him? And what did that conflict between good and evil look like? I doubt it looked like a mixed martial arts bout, right? I don't think it was that kind of a thing. But what did it look like? We don't know. Why did God allow it to go on for 3 weeks? What did Michael do when he came to help? And why does this angel have to go and return to the fight, which we read about later on, verse 20? Lots of questions, not so many answers there. But with Michael's help, the angel of light did overcome the angel of darkness and did get to Daniel to pass on a vision about the future. And that's chapters 11 and 12. We're not going to go there today. I want to read, though, about Daniel's recovery, starting in verse 17. He says to the angel, "My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Well, let's look at four implications for our prayer life from Daniel chapter 10. The first is this: we're all going to experience times of mourning and sadness, and we need to remember when we are troubled or concerned about anything, we need to pray. Now, that's not the only time we need to pray, right? We need to pray about all kinds of things, but we certainly need to remember to pray when we are mourning, when we are sad, when we are struggling with something, when something is disturbing us. And as much as we, you know, are familiar with the phrase, "there are no atheists in foxholes," I don't know about you, but I've encountered many times in my own life and in other people's life where we get into trouble and we don't pray. Right? We don't pray. I mean, the phrase "atheist in foxholes" means that when you're in trouble, of course you turn to God. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there are a lot of times we just try to fight on in our own power and strength. We need to remember that we can go to God when we're struggling, and we can go to Him in prayer. Requests that people made to God are throughout the Bible, all different kinds of things. Isaac's servant requested that God would show him the girl who should be Isaac's wife. Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still so he could finish a battle. Hannah prayed for a family. David prayed for forgiveness and a clean heart and for his sick child to live. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Then he prayed that it would, and it did. The Israelites prayed to return home. Jesus prayed for the unity of his followers. Paul prayed for a bothersome thing to be taken away from him. Various kinds of prayer that people in the Bible shared with God. But they all requested of God what they needed. They didn't all get the answers that they would have liked, but they communicated. They talked with God about the things that they were going through. They sought Him and His help. Paul says in Philippians 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God," I'm going on, "that transforms all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So pray. Pray for healing. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for understanding. Pray for direction. Pray for courage. Pray for help. Pray for peace. Pray for freedom. Pray. Pray when you're overjoyed, when you're overwhelmed, when you're overlooked, and when you're overtired. But pray. Secondly, we're not alone in the troubles we face. God does listen, and He does respond to our prayers, so we need to pray. Daniel's prayer was heard the moment he began to speak it, but he didn't get a response for 3 weeks. Some of you have been praying for things for 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, and you haven't gotten the response that you're looking for yet. But the point of this is keep praying. God is listening, and God will respond. God will answer our prayers as He deems best. In His wisdom and in His time, He will answer our prayers. We need to come to God with our requests. It says in Psalm 34, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry." And Hebrews 4, one of my favorite verses, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You know, in the old, uh, in olden days, approaching a king was a dangerous thing to do, right? Unless two conditions were met. One, you knew the king on a first name basis, and two, you had been invited by the king to come. You remember in the story of Esther, Esther knew the king, knew King Xerxes, first name basis, but she was afraid to go to the king unless he invited her to come. Here's the thing I want you to know about going to God and the throne of grace. God knows you on a first name basis. And if you have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, you're his child. He really knows you on a first name basis. And he has invited you to come anytime to receive the grace that you need. Jesus has invited the hungry. He's invited the thirsty. He's invited those who are tired. He invited all of the children to come. And if we are in Christ, we are children of God. You have an open invitation from the God who knows your name to come to the throne of grace at any time and to talk with him. Third, we need to pray because there's more going on in the universe than what we can see with our eyes. There are spiritual forces at work in the world, and we need to pray. In John 17, Jesus said, "My prayer is not to the Father." He says, "Not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Our biggest battles are spiritual battles. Our biggest battles are spiritual battles. Daniel was praying, and his answer was delayed because of a spiritual battle, something going on in the spiritual world that we can't see. But do I believe that there are angels? Absolutely. Do I believe they could be in this room right now? Absolutely. Do I believe that there are fallen angels, demons? Do I believe in Satan and evil power? Absolutely. I believe in all of that. We normally can't see that because there's a veil between the physical world and the spiritual world. That doesn't make the spiritual world any less real. I believe it is absolutely real. And I believe that there is a battle going on for our minds and our hearts and our souls. And we need to pray. Jesus prayed for us that we would be protected from the evil one. We need to pray that we and the people we love and others would be protected as well from the spiritual battle. We need to lay down the track, as Watchman Nee said, to allow God to give us the power to resist the devil's schemes. And finally, we need to pray because we're going to go through things where we need the peace and strength that only God can provide. Stacy King played center for the Chicago Bulls, same time Michael Jordan did. And I love one thing that Stacy King said. He said, "I'll never forget the night that Michael Jordan and I scored 70 points. Now, here's what you need to know. That night, Michael Jordan scored 69. Stacy King scored one. Right? I love that. And apply that to our lives, all right? God has the 69%. No, he has 99%. God has 69 of the power points. We have one. And that one point we have is to be used to go to God in prayer and ask him for the help that we need. We cannot live this life as faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ without the power of God working in us. We need to pray. 1 Chronicles 16, "Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always." You know, I was drawn to think about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. He was certainly troubled. He was certainly going through a really difficult battle, spiritual battle. The Bible doesn't tell us that Satan was in the garden with him, but I have to wonder if Satan wasn't in the garden tempting Jesus away from what he knew he needed to do. After Jesus' temptations that Satan was a part of, it says in the Bible that Satan left him until an opportune time. Well, there was no more opportune time for Satan to try to tempt Jesus away from his mission than when Jesus was struggling against his human nature in the Garden of Gethsemane. Whatever that struggle was looking like, whoever was there, Jesus was going through an agonizing time. And so he called out to his Father. It says he prayed so intensely that sweat fell from his face like drops of blood. I wonder if any of us have ever prayed that intensely. I know I haven't, but Jesus did. He prayed so hard that sweat fell from his face like drops of blood. And the Father heard him, and the Father sent help. In fact, it says in that passage that the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. And with that strength, Jesus went to the cross and suffered an agonizing death, so that our sins could be forgiven, paid for by him on that cross, and we could have this relationship with God whereby we can be called the children of God, and we can come to the throne of grace at any time to receive exactly what we need from God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Daniel and the witness that he is of a person who trusted you completely. And through a long life, 85 plus years, stayed faithful and continued to look to you for the help that he needed. We ask you, Lord, to help us to grow in our own prayer life. Help us to become more consistent about prayer. Help us to communicate, to talk with you more regularly, more honestly. Yours is a throne of grace. We don't have to be afraid to come and pour our hearts out to you. We just need to be willing. So help us to do that. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've been able to gather together. Pray that as we leave this place that we will continue in an attitude of worship. Help us with that. And Lord, we lift up these concerns and praises that have been brought today. We pray for Tim and his sister and for her daughter, Tim's sister's daughter. Lord, we lift her up to you. We pray for Bonnie. You know the need. We ask you to bless her. Lord, we thank you for Jean and the success that she's experiencing in her fight with leukemia. We give the glory to Jesus for all the goodness that he brings to their family and friends. We pray for Renee, Lord, and for others who are grieving Jim's passing. We pray for Jim's family as they mourn his passing. Please be their comforter. Lord, we praise you for good news for a woman who is fighting cancer, and we also praise you for good news for another woman whose doctor has finally found the source of the problem that she's been experiencing. May they experience your healing touch. We pray, Lord, for someone who has a new neighbor, and we pray that there will be good, healthy, and friendly relationships in that situation, and that you would use this individual perhaps to help their neighbor come to a close relationship with you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We thank you that you will respond to them. We ask you for the humility and the patience to wait for and receive your answers. But we pray, Lord, that you'll keep us, help us to keep praying. Help us to keep praying. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? Takeaway this morning: we need to pray continually, completely, and expectantly. Pray about everything. Pray as often as you think about it, and think about it often. And pray with expectant hope that God is going to be good to you because he loves you. Go in the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being part of the Northgate podcast today. Your support and engagement have truly been incredible. If you like what you hear, then please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the Northgate podcast. It's your enthusiasm and continued support that keeps us motivated and inspired to creating meaningful content that resonates with our listeners. So, thanks again.